Welcome to the Master Your Money podcast from drscottbrown.com. Get inside the thinking of investment masters of stocks, bonds, derivatives, retirement, and taxation.
People recognize when they see a Puerto Rican, they engage rapidly. And then we, at the same time, as bicultural people, we know how to deal with the American industry. As an example, in the pharmaceutical industry, the Cuban people have a lot of medical devices that can be sold into the United States. Well, we can bridge that because we know in communications, in so many areas. So I don't see it negatively. I see it as one of these unique opportunities that even with all our troubles we have, we need to put flights out there from Puerto Rico. We need to create more communication with Cuba. We need to develop packages together that people can see the old Cuba and the modern Puerto Rico, all Caribbean islands, sister islands. And there are a lot of people that love to go to Cuba, but after 3 days, they would love to go to a modern Cuba with all the amenities that you find here. So you can be creative. There can be, the region can become a stronger region. Why Singapore have done all that they have done? Because they are stable, they have one vision, one execution. That's one of the things I am proposing. Let's get economic policies out of the political cycles. So that's one thing that Singapore has. The other thing that Singapore has is the region. It's a very strong region. So that's the reason also that they have been able to thrive, because they have more people to sell, more critical mass. Adding Cuba, and with our unique relationship, Cuba will never be part of the United States. We are part of the United States. With that advantages, we can really create a stronger region, and it's the theory instead of the theory of scarcity is the theory of abundance for everyone.
Thank you. A quick question for Monish. Warren Buffett has shown aversion to invest in technology. What are your thoughts in that regard?
Well, the reason he doesn't invest in technology, he gives two reasons. One is circle of competence, which we just discussed. And the second is that industries with rapid change are the enemy of the investor. We are value investors trying to assess the future prospects of a business. If you go into an industry which is subject to a lot of disruption and change, it becomes very hard to make assessments about the future. So, in general, the industries that lend themselves to venture capital are generally the industries that we would have difficulty with, because venture capitalists are looking for very high growth, high trajectory businesses, but they also have very high uncertainty and they have very high burnout. So if 1 out of 10 companies makes it, that's fine, because the home run more than makes up. With value investing, we really have to focus on reduction of error rates rather than addition of home runs. So it's more about keeping the error rate down. And one way to keep the error rate down is to go with very predictable business models. So like if you look at, again, going back to someone like John Arriega, the Stanford Real Estate, it's highly predictable. So it's a great, great business to be in.
Thank you both.
Excellent. Very quickly, Monish. Warren Buffett has written, if you're professional and have confidence, then I'd advocate lots of concentration. If I were running 50, 100, 200 million, I'd have 80% in five positions with 25% for the largest. Charlie Munger prefers an even more concentrated portfolio when he defines very few securities as no more than three. Which of these two portfolio compositions do you approximate, and how do you differ? How much of an additional advantage do Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger enjoy over you from their free money Geico car insurance premium float?
Well, so I think the issue of concentration I agree with Warren and Charlie in the sense that good investment ideas are rare and valuable, and you're not going to have a river of good ideas because the world is a competitive place, and it doesn't make much sense to put the same amount of money in your 20th best idea as your best idea. What I've tended to do is with other people's money in our funds and such, we've tended to max out at 10% of assets at cost. So we might end up with, 10 or so assets or 10 or so positions. And sometimes, the nature of the position warrants a smaller bet. So sometimes we'll make even a 2% or a 5% bet. I think that I agree with Charlie and Warren, but also very few of us have the skills they do.
Okay. So
I think both of them are, off the charts in terms of being gifted as investors. So the rest of us mortals probably shouldn't have three stocks and slightly more, but we shouldn't have 30 either.
Right.
So.
Excellent. I'd like to invite another question from the students. Richard, go ahead.
Thank you. This is a question for the secretary. I moved here 2 years ago under the acts, Act 20 and 22. And when I moved here, what I cared about in the very beginning was how the locals, a lot of the local businessmen and people, would feel about the program. So I spent quite a bit of time speaking with all sorts of demographics, from a local businessman to somebody I'll meet in La Placita drinking, or the guy that cuts my hair. That's a very, very, very easy job for him. But and there were essentially three types of responses. On one end, I was very encouraged. There were businessmen that see it exactly the way you see it. New people arriving. It's can only be a marginal, a marginal positive. Just from the somewhat incremental economic activity. And then certainly at one end of the spectrum, there are people that, they're just upset. This is just another place to point the finger. And when I would ask them, I would say, well, what do you want? What would make you happy? And many of these people had trouble articulating that. So, that's sort of perhaps to be discounted. But the majority were, is what got me thinking. The majority of the people I spoke with, I can sort of see it. Their issue was, Act 22, for example, probably is a marginal positive, but it's the hard thing for people to wrap their heads around was the fact that there's essentially two camps. They're not able to take advantage of Act 22, whereas Act 20 certainly is available to just about anybody. And it sort of got me thinking. I haven't done the math on it, but I imagine if the concern around Act 22 was the foregone tax revenue from capital gains, it was an interesting coincidence that many of these people that were concerned about these two tax regimes, many of them also suffered mark-to-market losses on a lot of the a lot of the debt that they held as assets. So the irony here is that many of these, these are very hardworking people that, placed a lot of faith in the government and invested money and all this other stuff. But the irony is, imagine if Act 22 were available to everyone. I imagine the economic impact to the government may actually be non-existent. It may actually be a positive because, the bitter irony is that, many of these people are suffering from unrealized capital losses that no longer would be, a tax asset, essentially. So, I don't know. I haven't done the math, but my question is, why not make Act 22 available to everyone? Was that analysis done? And I'm just kind of curious, because it would certainly remove a lot of the, those people.
I will answer. I understand your question. If I were governor and legislator and had that power, I will do it tomorrow. I really believe that what we collect is ridiculous amounts what we actually collect out of capital gain from the local people. And Act 22 is not different. Local people have other laws, Act 185, that they can channel their investments through there. So people that are protesting are people that Act 22 is not for them, because they are not active investors that live out of capital gains. What I will enthuse more is to have, as you said, everybody gets a tax at 0% on capital gains, maybe at 7 or 10% for active salaries and all that, and have our tax system based more on property values, which are very, very low in Puerto Rico, the taxes we collect on properties. And people will say, well, you cannot, I cannot live with what I have. But you have to see that properties are not going up. If properties were better taxed, plus the consumption be better taxed, I'm sure we will raise a lot more money than by trying to charge capital gain on existing gains. So I agree 100%. I think that all the negative that some people, as you said, they cannot articulate why they are being negative about the program, is because they don't understand it. But we need to communicate more. That's not easy, because you cannot pay for advertising and locally and all that. So we need to just keep spreading the word of the true attributes of the program. They are beginning to see that people are getting involved in charities, that they are becoming part of our society. That's important, that we are beginning to develop a diverse society that is not only concentrated in San Juan, in Dorado. Now we have communities in Humacao, in Ponce, in the West Coast. So things take time. We have been active on this program only for 3.5 years, because when I came into office, it took me a little time to understand, make a strategy on it. But a lot, I think, has been accomplished in 3.5 years. So we need to keep getting it better. If I had the power to control a legislature and put laws that make sense, I would change the complete tax system. I will give a zero taxation to all capital gains, as that, to passive income a lot lower. Don't give it too much thought on why people are not happy with the program. It's just a lot of frustration outside there. People have lost the values on their properties. They have lost the values on their bonds, on their stock. People used to invest in local stock only, of the banks, so they lost all the value. So that frustration, together with the fact that the program needs to have more maturing. But eventually, everybody will understand we will make better laws.
Just, has anybody offered an explanation as to why, for example, Act 22 is not when they drafted the law, just make it available to anybody, as opposed to just, you know, transplants who arrive?
No, again, it's a matter of a maturing process.
Sure.
It was a law that was copied from the Virgin Islands.
Right.
And there's some forward-thinking people that are saying, look, we have a problem with the diaspora. We should offer to everyone that comes 10 years tax-free status to make them come back. And then we tax them through consumption taxes and all that. So there are many ways that we can use our laws to the advantage. It's a matter of actually doing smart things. And unfortunately, The political process is too fragmented in Puerto Rico. I personally am very in favor, not because it's a good thing that happened to us, it's just a good consequence, the fiscal board, because I think that they will challenge things and they will become our biggest lobbyist, because for them to be successful, we need more economic development and we need to do more laws that make sense and create, as I've described, ecosystems.
Yes.
Our tax system is absurd. It's just patches after patches. And it's in the, when I studied law, one of the things that I remember is that you use the power to tax to create policy. In Puerto Rico, we have not done that from many, many years ago. We have just been creating exemptions where people take advantage of that. The government is not taking their fair share. And so that's part of also of the solution to tax activities that are not being taxed.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
Our time is almost up, and I want to invite any final thoughts that both of you have. And in particular, I want to mention something I read in Guy Spier's book that really caught my attention, and that was when you had your $600,000 lunch with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett told your children that the most important decision that they would make would be the person that they marry. And of course, we have young professionals here. I'd like to invite both of your thoughts on that, and I'll say some final comments, and we'll close.
Well, you know, with my kids, I always find they listen to other people better than they listen to me. So it was great. In fact, I was lucky at the time we had our lunch, which was about 8 years ago, 7 years ago. Basically, my kids were 10 and 12 years old at the time. They were old enough that they could actually participate. They actually asked him a bunch of questions. And that was one of the things he told them, and I think it stayed with them from then till now, and I think it is certainly something that they weigh carefully. They're young ladies now, and it's good advice for them, and I think it's good advice for anyone. Mm-hmm.
So. Excellent. Secretary Bacall?
I think that I work with a lot of very young people. I think that our youth takes very seriously marriage. They are taking more time to really think because they see that it's a partnership. It's a partnership of love, but also it's a partnership of work because everything goes together. If you don't have peace in your home, you will not be able to be productive to get to the most of your talents. So I think young people understand very well. The same they do with politics. I agree with Monish that people just see through. And politicians still don't understand that people see through. And that's, I have been 4 years now, and it kind of sometimes frustrates because we would like to tell them, look, the best is the results. People will see the results. Don't try to push and tell them that you're doing so many things. Just show that you're doing it. It works. It works in your home by showing, by example, and it works in politics. One last thought. In Puerto Rico, we had this big blackout over the last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And one of the things that I was noting is that people really were more looking to the policemen and to the workers of the Electric Power Authority, trying to see how they could help them. They were not hearing politicians. Yeah. They didn't trust what politicians were telling them. They were dealing directly with the people that were doing something for them. And they show it they gave water. That's the first thing time I see something happen like that. You see people giving bottles of water to the policeman in the traffic lights. And that's the kind of new world that we're beginning to think. As final remarks on my part, I said, trust Puerto Rico, believe in Puerto Rico, go and promote Puerto Rico, try to get rid of the people that will always be thinking negatively, because we can solve our problems and we can become what is my dream, which is the shining center of this hemisphere where you have a unique international cross-fertilization, and you have entertainment, you have productivity just emerging out of Puerto Rico to the world. That can happen, and be positive, but tell your politicians that what you want, and be forceful on them.
Thank you very much. I wish to thank all of you for this vibrant forum regarding value investing and economic development of Puerto Rico. Ismael Falcón, CPA, is the president of the University of Puerto Rico School of Business Alumni Association. CEO Dave Watkins is the president of the Act 20 and 22 Committee of the Puerto Rico Chamber of Commerce. And in fact, the president of the Puerto Rico Chamber of Commerce is in this audience today. Annie Mustafa, Patricia De La Torre, Kayla Rodriguez, and Magda Segarra are from the Puerto Rico Department of Economic Development and Commerce. Victor Morales is the director of the film crew. The University of Puerto Rico students are enrolled in my MBA corporate finance course. The support and collaboration of each was vital in making this academic forum a success. Thank you and good day.
Here's where the rubber hits the road so that you can start to think and grow rich. Go to drscottbrown.com right now to get an online stock investment training worth $200 for free entitled, How an Illiterate 18-Year-Old Minimum Wage McDonald's Cook Becomes a Millionaire in 50 Years.